but I'm doing this. I also want to ask you some. This is an interview with Dr. Hugh Peterson, February 19, 1977. I want to ask you some about Dr. John Sampey and any recollections you may have had about him and his attitudes, his feelings about the seminary. The first question is about Dr. Sampey. Do you remember anything of his position or his attitude as he led the seminary toward the training of men for vocational ministry in religious education? Now, it was not done at that time, but Dr. Dobbins was here. Do you remember anything about the attitude of the seminary?
About Dobbins or Sampey?
About Sampey's.
Yes.
Sampey's attitude.
Well, Sampey and Dobbins would go hand to hand, you know. And he felt that the seminary was not, it was primarily an academic institution. It was primarily a training institution. Though, he, of course, he was academic, but he felt the job of the seminary primarily was to send the fellows out, not with a lot of big notebooks, you know, but go out into the to the denomination and represent the kind of training that the seminary would give to the fellows went out to build churches, and yet they were primarily, I guess at the first of preachers only, at pulpit deals, you know, mm-hmm. And then they began more and more to become people who were fitting people to go into other churches and build training programs. Mm-hmm. You see, it's academic and professional, two sides to it, you know. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sankey was an old bear and a lovely, lovely, warm-hearted person.
Yes. My father loved him very dearly.
Yeah. And if he started talking to you very much, he'd be hitting the table.
I see. Well, now, Southwestern at that time was training men in religious education. Do you ever recall Dr. Sampey talking about what they were doing in relation to what Southern was doing and why they would train men in religious education and Southern did not? I was told by one of the trustees, Dr. Parker, Henry Allen Parker, that his opinion was that Dr. Sampey saw the seminary as very much the school of the prophets, and that it was to train men to be preachers and pastors, not to train men to be ministers of education, and he was very satisfied to let Southwestern do that. Do you recall anything of
that? Yes, that is true. Very much indeed. That there was a feeling that, and he was always saying this, Sammy, school of the prophets, school of the prophets. Yeah. And though we didn't have an extraordinary emphasis on training, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Dobbins came along, and he's the fellow that did all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sampey, I think he called us always the School of the Prophets. But when Dobbins came along, the Sunday school books put out all their literature, you know, and mm-hmm. training courses and all of that. He was very sympathetic with the idea, but he never forgot, mm-hmm. School of the Prophets.
Yes. Well, now, Dobbins primarily approach it from the standpoint of, we're going to train pastors how to do religious education?
Yes.
That's what I figured.
Yes, that's right.
And when Dr. Fuller came, he immediately began to try to start a school of church music. And then he also wanted to do something particularly in the area of training men in religious education. What do you recall of that?
Well, you're talking about Dr. Sampey now?
No, Dr. Fuller.
Dr. Fuller?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was church-minded and church-centered. He thought about churches. He lived in the atmosphere of churches. And then when Dobbins came along, he was Sunday school board kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you know. And he took up the Sunday school. They were just put, well, they were going strong in training in programs, church programs, and that, not rather than preaching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Dr. Sampi was always for the biggest thing they got and the best thing they got, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth.
So was Fuller's experience on being in a large church and having a church staff, do you think that influenced him to want to expand training of other kinds of ministers, ministers of music and ministers of education?
That was just coming out. I was there when that, mm-hmm. And of course they got the music men in to start doing the church music.
And did this seem to be an inspiration of Dr. Fuller's?
Yes. Oh, yes, you see, that great big church that he had, he
right.
could see where they needed all this train along that line.
One of the things I'm trying to get at is that by the time Fuller got there, Dobbins had already been there for 20 years, but they had never, at the seminary, trained men specifically to be ministers of education until Dr. Fuller got there.
Yeah.
So I've kind of gathered that was pretty much Dr. Fuller's idea.
Yes.
And then Dr. Dobbins went ahead and implemented what Dr. Fuller was trying to get done.
This is right.
Is that correct?
That's exactly correct.
Okay. In the middle 40s, Dr. Fuller became interested in getting help for Dr. Dobbins because Dr. Dobbins was carrying the full load of church efficiency, or church administration by that time it was called, and religious education. And he approached two men, Dr. W.L. House, who was at Southwestern, and Ralph McLean. Do you remember anything about those two men?
Well, Ralph McLean was a big buddy, like my brother. He knew senior just as well. Ralph McLean was, they were not, they didn't major in preaching like the seminary is thought to. Of course, preaching and religious education became one, you see, in the seminary.
Right.
You couldn't be in religious education unless you had a preacher's mind, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Ralph McLean was, and I and two or three others were in that team.
Uh-huh. Now, Dr. House was approached with a faculty position, and he turned it down. Do you remember anything about that?
No, I remember his going after him, talking to him, and I don't know whether he was discouraged by his colleagues or not, because, as I've already said, this is a school for preachers.
Yes. Yeah. So he decided to stay at Southwestern.
Yeah.
Then Dr. Edge came along and took that that position and did teach religious education while Dr. Dobbins went on and taught church administration mostly after that, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, and it was yes, I guess that's the way you would put it. That, but Edge and was more of a, what should I say, an educational, an institutional educational man,
mm-hmm.
and built the educational. Just took up where the others left off, you know.
I see. Then, of course, in the early 50s, in 1953, it finally came about. But in 50 and 51 and 52, they were trying to decide whether to set apart the School of Religious Education as a school instead of just a department. Do you have any ideas as to why they decided to do that?
No, Now, Dobbins was right in the middle of that then,
yes.
Wasn't he?
Yes, and then he became the dean of that school.
Yes, and because Dobbins pushed it, you know, anything Dobbins did, he had to do it alone. It was his idea.
I see.
But always a very, we both knew him very well. He's very wonderful, guy's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, in his personality, he didn't exude the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He exuded the, he set forth the programs of what he was doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't been for Dobbins, that never would have, I think they never would have had anything like that education then. And of course, they were always, they could see Southwestern, see,
mm-hmm.
And they saw the value of it. I would say the professors generally devoted themselves to the theological slant, you know,
yes.
And Dobbins to the organizational.
Now, I've been told that that the success of the school at Southwestern in training men in religious education was a major factor in why they decided to have a school here, that they found out that no one was coming to get their training here. They were all going to Southwestern, and if the seminary was ever going to have any part in training men in the field of religious education, that they decided they would have to have a school. Do you recall if that's, is that the way you saw it?
Yes, this is right.
Mm-hmm.
This is right, yeah. Well, wouldn't this be putting it right? They realized that if Southern Seminary was ever to be a monster seminary, they had to get into this education business because that's where everybody was going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also, something that Dr. Parker, Henry Allen Parker, also mentioned was that he felt as though Dr. Fuller was very concerned about the fact that many churches and many pastors were wanting for all of their staff members to be trained in the same institution. That they felt that they would all work under the same philosophy if they did this, and this was another reason why they began the school.
Yes.
Did you,
now,
you
recall? Now, here.
Yes.
The education
right.
school here.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yes, if they had taken the education and put it all into the seminary, then, or vice of, you know, whichever way, there had to be a twofold emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Dr. Sampi was the student of the prophets, the
yeah.
school of the prophets.
Yeah, right. Had to
and
get away from that.
Religious education was prophecy at that time.
Right. Now, at the time when they began the School of Religious Education and the School of Church Music, this was back in 53, I understand that there were some strong opinions on both sides in the faculty as to whether this ought to be done or not, that some of the faculty members felt as though it ought not to be done. Do you recall any of that and what those opinions might have been?
No.
For instance, Theron Price was against it,
yes.
And Wayne Oates was against it, and some people like that. They just did not feel as though there ought to be a separate school. And I wondered if you remembered any of the reasons for this.
Yes, they felt that this ought to be strictly an academic school.
Mm-hmm.
And the Southwest was standing up here. They were not strictly, in our judgment, an academic school, and then Price thought that they'd lose the significance of our seminary. They had a sort of a university feel of it. This had to be an academic school, and
mm-hmm.
this had to be a practical school.
Mm-hmm.
And you named the two fellows, and Price was very strong and. The academic side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That education, well, I don't know how to put it, is fooling around with the church affairs, and you know, and
mm-hmm.
getting the church to run all right, instead of looking for great theological ideas, which pulled them out away from Southwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And they all felt that, excuse me, but don't ever mean, that Southwestern is a second second class school.
Yes.
But they didn't know anything about it.
I see. And they didn't want it to be degraded to that. Or to be
You've got the good word.
Yeah,
that's the good
right.
word.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I've understood, but I have not had a chance yet to interview Dr. Oates or Dr. Price. I will be one of these days getting to them, but I just wondered if you remembered any of that. One other question. You were secretary of the faculty, and when the schools separated, you served as secretary to both the RE faculty and to the theology faculty, so that, as I understand it from Dr. Edge, you served to see that none of the school faculties would take actions that would affect the whole seminary without having the other schools involved in the decisions.
Yes, this, I was there when that this was a joint faculties. They,
right.
they have the Faculty of Education. When did church music drop in here?
It came in the same time, 53.
Yeah.
Up to that time, it was an auxiliary sort of thing. It wasn't actually a school. It was a department.
Yes.
But they called it a school, but it was actually a department.
Yes.
And then it became, when religious education became a school, church music also became a school, although it had been sort of a school for a while.
Yes. And it was, as long as I was there, the feeling that this was a school of theology of the whole sort of Baptist sort of, you know, the top man.
Right.
And the RE was second class, if you think. Now, of course, they were very careful to organize the thing very well, the music. But the music weren't strong theologians, the music people. They talked to you a little about theology, but they didn't major on that. And Price is one of your men. Price was a strong academic man.
Yes. Yeah, it seems to me as though when they actually did separate those schools that they had very little problem with this. That any controversy was prior to that going on, and that after they got them separated and began to function as three schools with a joint faculty, things seemed to go very well.
Oh, yes.
And would you attribute this to the fact that a lot of good groundwork was laid, that it was well organized before it was begun?
Yes, that's right. That is very good. And also to the fact that the people that put a strong emphasis on theologians were nice guys.
Uh-huh.
And they were interested in the program of the seminary. They always want Southern Seminary to be the seminary.
Right.
Because it's in Fort Worth, they had another seminary.
right. Well, I think also probably the fact that Dr. Dobbins had a Ph.D. and Dr. Edge was trained in theology and Dr. Landry was a Ph.D. trained in theology. These things also probably helped them to be accepted more. And Dr. Coker, all of those were men who had been trained under these theology professors.
Yes.
So they probably were accepted more for that reason when they became a separate school than if they had brought in a lot of outside professors. Do you think so?
Yes. And then in Southwestern, they began to see that these fellows at Southwestern were real nice guys. Bill House, there wasn't a nicer guy. And these fellows knew how to behave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've sensed in me, but there was really no tension mm-hmm. between the two students, between the people of the two schools. Now the mm-hmm. the students were the people that that fixed us up. If you see them, Southwestern.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and it was, and you'll find that was entirely artificial.
Right.
Even though so long ago I can remember that they turned their nose up at Southwestern, and I came from New Zealand, and I knew nothing of this tradition that was there. But it was just a godsend that these men like Howes and others had good sense, and they pulled the two schools together. You never hear anybody sniff their nose over there, Southwestern.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. This has been very helpful to me. Very, very helpful.
Yeah. Well, don't be too strong that I said Southwestern's a real nice school.
Right. I'll protect your integrity.
I'm glad to see you so much.